Growing up in Tioga County, there seemed to be, often, and maybe it's just the way the world is today, I think, there was a lot less things to do back in the day, if you will. But they seem to be, those things seem to be, to me, they made these huge impacts. And they're simple things of life that made huge impacts on me. I remember them. I don't know whether God has given me the mind or I just make it up in my own brain and convince myself that it's true. I don't know. But I can remember some very detailed things about my childhood. I can remember some very detailed things about my growing up and just how it smelled or how it felt or what I experienced while I was doing it, whether it was while I was hunting or whether I was milking cows or just working on the farm or going to school or whatever those things were that I was involved in my life. They made huge impacts on me. And when I think about them, most of them put a smile on my face. They just do. I had a very experiential childhood. My mom said often, she'd say, you know, well, if my kids did that, I said, Mom, you might want to stop there because your kids did do that. You know, that's the kind of, we were very experiential in our childhood, and we learned sometimes the hard way, but life was different for me, I think, and maybe it's that way. I'm not 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 now, so maybe it's similar to you, but I'm encouraging you, if you're in that age bracket, if you're young, and I would consider young as like 40 and under. If you're young, be experiencing life and do things that are healthy and let God just imprint them on your heart and on your memory for the future. One of those things that we used to do, and it was consistent every single year, is it was hayride season. October and November was hayride season. You just didn't take a hayride in like June. It just wasn't right. You just didn't do that. I don't know if there's a written code about hayrides or what, but it needed to be October or November. So here we are, the end of November. It's the end of hayride season, if you want to ask me. I believe that you don't want to do it in the winter time. You don't want to do it in the summertime. And we never took a hayride when it was light outside. It was always dark. It was always going. And we'd go for miles at times. We would travel miles. And many times we would be out hours, an hour, two or three on a hayride. And maybe it was the 4-H club that was doing that. Or maybe it was a church group that was doing that. Or maybe it was just your family that was doing that. An old John Deere 50 or an Alice 180 or something of that nature was pulling it around the countryside, and you would break into, somebody would break into song, and they would begin to sing on the hayride, and without a doubt. The song that would finally come around, or maybe even start, was, "Oh, the deacon went down in the cellar to pray, and he fell asleep and he stayed all day." I don't know if any of you know that song. And the, "Oh, the deacon went down in the cellar to pray. He fell asleep and he stayed all day. I ain't gonna grieve my Lord no more." Maybe you got different words than that. But then it would say, "You can't get to heaven and then in a motor car." Right? Because the crazy thing won't go that far. You know, and that's the kind of thing. It's verse after verse, and somebody else would start to sing, "Oh, you can't get to heaven in a limousine because God's got no gasoline," type of deal. "You can't get to heaven on roller skates because you'll roll right past those pearly gates." And we would be singing those songs. And if you knew at the end, when somebody would get sick and tired of singing that song after 45 or 50 minutes, perhaps, of those verses coming over and over and over, not the same ones, but somebody was making up something, "You can't get to heaven this way." And somebody would all of a sudden start singing, "If you get to heaven before I do, that means that I'm done singing this song. You just bore a hole and pull me through." Because yeah, I'm done singing this song. Hayrides were very experiential. We never had sides on our wagons. Maybe because we didn't have wagons with sides. I don't know. But it was, your feet were hanging off, or loose hay, some bales hay on the wagon. And it was a very experiential time. Well, as I grew up, I got the idea, or we got the idea, that if the hayride was after dark and somebody else was on the hayride, Wouldn't it be kind of cool to show up in the darkness of night and really just scare them? It just seemed like the right thing to do with a bunch of 16, 17, 18-year-olds. And so you'd make contact. You'd hear of a hayride going to go on. We didn't care who it was. It could be the Girl Scouts. We didn't care. You know, it could be the 4-H. We didn't care. We didn't care if we could get word that a hayride was going to go. And if you could get a hold of the driver, the tractor driver. Number one, you want the tractor driver on your side, because he may have to alter his route to get you to where you needed to go, or get them where they needed to go. Also, the driver was often packing, and I'm not talking a sandwich. One thing you did not want to do is scare the driver. It could cost you big time if you scared the driver. So get the driver on board with you. And there was this one place that we had to go through the woods. And this one place, I'm telling you, it's the bottom of Webster's Hill, next to the old shack, up through going to the Costley Farm. That's where it was. You have no idea what I'm talking about. My picture just went there. And it was just up the hill, so you'd have to shift down the tractor, because he couldn't pull the hill with a wagon load of hay, or wagon load of people and hay on it. And that was a beautiful spot, because there's woods on both sides. And all of a sudden, we had a dummy hanging, filled with leaves, and hanging over the road. And when they would go by, we'd drop the dummy onto the wagon. We would do stuff like that. And we would holler and scream, and people would run across in Sasquatch outfits. I mean, it's just this horrendous moment in this one road. And we would know, we knew that that was the best place. And the sole purpose they were on that road is to scare them, because it was the best place, the most opportune time to scare somebody. So they were on that road for the purpose of scaring them, so that they would be afraid. Unlike a hayride, Jesus will never put you on a road simply to scare you. Are you with me this morning? Jesus will never put you on a road just to scare you. People on that hayride went on that road because that's what was going to happen. Jesus will never put you on a road simply to scare you. Jesus does not have a horror film production. Jesus does not jump out and try to spook your life. He is not about scaring you. He is not about making you afraid. That's not his goal in your life. As a matter of fact, it's never his goal to scare you in life. It's never his goal to put you simply on a road so that you're afraid. Never will that be his purpose. Ever will that be his purpose. Never will that be his purpose, to put you on a road to scare you. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not scary things in life. I'm not saying that there's not scary things in life. And if you've gone through some scary things, some things that make you afraid in life, and we're going to unpack that a little bit today, and they may be allowed in your life, and Jesus is allowing them in your life, but they're not for the sole purpose of scaring you. Jesus does not spook your hayride. In John 6, verse 16 and 17 says this: when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they were got into a boat and set across the lake of Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. I'm telling you, they're on a water hayride. It's nighttime, and they just got on the boat, and they're headed across the lake. Verse 18 says this: a strong wind was blowing, and the water grew rough. And all of a sudden, where they were exactly where Jesus had placed them, Jesus had walked them to the side of that ocean or that lake, and he'd put them in the boat, and he sent them on the boat. And all of a sudden, doing exactly what Jesus wanted them to do, it got rough. It just got rough. Verses 19 and 20 say this: when they had rowed three and a half miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I! Don't be afraid!" Matthew says it this way: when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage! It is I! Don't be afraid!" Mark tells it this way: they cried out because they saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage! It is I! Don't be afraid!" I find it very interesting that 40 to 50 years after this event are these Gospels being written by these Matthew, Mark, and John. So 40 or 50 years ago, when they were 25 years old, they were in this boat, and now when they're 75 years old, they're writing this story at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And some of them will include other parts of the story because they had a very experiential time with Jesus. Some of them remembered certain things, and some of them remembered other things of 40 to 50 years ago. Some of them remembered tidbits of information that the other one didn't remember. And they were writing it in their gospel that the Holy Spirit was inspiring to write. But some of them remembered things that other ones didn't remember. But every one of them remembered that they were afraid. Every gospel writer says, "I can remember." We're talking a 25-year-old. Now is a 75-year-old writing this story down. And he said, "I can remember being afraid. I can remember the wind. I can remember the waves. And I can remember Jesus walking across the water. And I can remember that emotion that was in me. And all of a sudden I thought, 'Jesus, you put me in this spot simply to scare me.'" But then he spoke to every one of them and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. And I have not come so that you would be afraid. I have not come," and the word afraid means this, to put to flight by terrifying. He said, "I don't want you to be put to flight by terrifying you. That's not why I'm here." Have you ever been put to flight by being terrified? You get into a pasture with a mean bull once. He'll put you to flight by terrifying you. But if you're just running from the bull and you're not running toward the tree or toward the gate, he will catch you. He will put you to flight, but he's a terrible guide. He will chase after you, and you will run away from him, and you will continue to run away from him and run away from him. But until you run towards something, you will continue to be chased, and you will be caught. He said, "I did not come to put you to flight by terrifying you. Fear is not the purpose that I'm here." And later on, a few years later, when John wrote Revelation, look what he says: "When I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me," and he said, "What? He's like 90 years old now. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. It is I. I am the first and the last." Can you remember back when Jesus told him when he was 25, reminded him when he was 75, and now later on in life he's writing it again. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. My kingdom is not about fear. My kingdom is not about being afraid. My kingdom is not about fear. Fear steals and paralyzes and subdues and overpowers and defeats. My kingdom is about living in freedom and strength and victory and in hope. I did not put you here in this situation to paralyze you. I didn't put you in this situation to overpower you. I didn't put you in this situation to defeat you. You are in this situation, and I'm showing up in your situation. And you got to hear me say, don't be afraid, because I am not here to make your fear worse. I am here to show you that your fear can't stop me from showing up in your life. We do face strong winds in life. Matthew remembers it this way. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and his fear began to sink him. There are things in this world, I'm telling us, want to get our attention, want us to be afraid of. They want to sink us. Those things that want to sink us, and those things that Jesus has allowed in your life, they're not to create fear. They're to show you what kind of God you have, to show you that He is a promise keeper, that He is a way maker, that He is a miracle worker, to show you that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to show you that He is the first and the last, to show you that He is a mighty way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is never to make you more afraid in life. But when Peter started to see the things around him in his world, they started to see what was beaten up against him, all of a sudden he was terrified and he was put to flight, but his flight was taking him down. And we know the story that Matthew remembered. I remember Peter then cried out to Jesus, and Jesus touched him and brought him back to the surface. Why? Because Jesus is not there to sink you. Amen. He's there to bring you on top. Come on, He's there to rise you up out of your fear and out of the junk that's trying to push you under the ground. What are some of the strong winds of life that are trying to push us down? What are some of the things that you have to face that want to make us afraid? The psalmist says it this way. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when I walk through death, and death wants it. Have you ever been incapacitated? Have you ever have something you don't know what is and it's got you down? Have you ever had something that you think is going to take your life? If you have not, maybe you don't know what it feels like. Have you ever had your child in a very negative way, in a way that you don't know if they're going to make it through the next hour, how they're going to make it through this next journey? Have you ever had someone in your life you don't know, and all of a sudden you become afraid? You don't know what to do. You're laying there, and it could be you, the next one, who exits this earth. And God says, I'm telling you why. I'm not going to stop death and perhaps disease in your life, but it's not put there so that you can be more afraid of it. It's put there so I can show up in your life and show you that I am the King of Kings. Amen. And I am the Lord of Lords.
Come on now.
Are you with me this morning? This world is trying to make us afraid. And listen, this is not a political statement. When I make a political statement, I'll full on tell you this is a political statement. There's lots of things in this world that we want to get us afraid of it. Why? So they can sink us. So it can sink us. So that the fear can sink us. And Jesus said, I didn't allow that in your life so you could be sunk. I allowed that in your life so I could show up and say, don't be afraid. It is I. And I know. I know I watched my wife wrestling with cancer, and I watched her And all of a sudden I knew that I was becoming afraid. I watched my oldest daughter be born at 2 pounds, 14 ounces, and I didn't know if they were going to make it. I watched my next daughter have a 500, 600, 700 glucose and not knowing what to do. I watched her seize in the middle of the night and trying to call the ambulance so she could come and rescue her. And God tells me, I didn't allow those things so that you could be afraid. I allowed those things so you could see me. I'm telling you what, my world has a lot of fear in it. But I choose to turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that's what He was telling the disciples, and that's what He's telling you and me. Death and disease is going to try to make you so afraid. Look at Luke says, are not 5 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them is forgotten by the Lord. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are more worth more than the sparrow. Do you see, I think another thing that causes fear in our lives is thinking that nobody cares. What's it matter? Nobody cares about me. What's it matter? Nobody cares about me. My wife has left me. My husband has left me. My kids haven't talked to me. What's it really matter? And fear gets a hold of you, and fear tries to sink you. I'm afraid that nobody really cares about me. I find it interesting that he says, don't be afraid in that situation. You know what that word is? Put to flight by terrifying you. It's the same word. So the valley of the shadow of death, yes, there's fear there. Not thinking that anybody cares about you or sees you. Lots of fear in our world. Matthew 1:20 says this, but after he, Joseph, had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know what I think? You know what I think? I'm shooting kind of all directions right this morning. Because you know what I think else causes fear in your life? Is to do what God's called you to do. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to walk with me, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you're afraid. Don't be afraid to walk it out with me. Don't be afraid. You know that I've called you. You know you didn't get that wrong. You know that I have you with Mary. You know. You know. Don't run, Joseph. Don't run, Joseph. This is not the moment to be afraid. This is the moment to hear the angel of the Lord say, don't be afraid. This is God working in your life. The next thing that God wants us to do can cause fear. As a matter of fact, I think if God's not asking you something that wouldn't incite you to be afraid, I would be surprised. I think God is going to ask us something that we got to say no to fear and yes to Him. When I preach to fewer people, I look at some of you more than I normally do. Sorry about that. I find my eyes locked on certain people when I'm speaking. I don't mean that's not anything personal. I preach to people, not to air. And I look at you. And if there was people that weren't in a safe room and people that weren't online watching with us today, and if they were here sitting, then I would be looking at them. I just wouldn't have to look at you or you. I'm sorry that I could feel it. I could feel it. You're like, dude, you're looking at me. Dude, can you look at somebody else? Just let me throw a few more of these out here. What things that can cause fear? But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Anyone else has had a fear that God's not hearing you? I'm just going to go. You say, am I shaking in my boots? Am I shaking? That's not what afraid means. Afraid means to be motivated to move. To run away by being terrified. God is not listening to me. This situation's got to get any better. It hasn't changed. It's not changing with my wife. That's his situation. It's not happening right here. So I'm going over here. I'm going over here and doing something else. And God says, that's fear motivating you. You got to stick with me, Zechariah. Don't be afraid. I'm hearing you. Don't be afraid. God is hearing your prayers. As we met, some of us met at the Davis's house the other night, and we encircled their house with candles. And as we cried out to God on behalf of Lene, whose cancer is just beating her up. And I knew that God was hearing our prayers. I was not afraid that He was hearing us. I knew that He was hearing us. Then I watched her three children, 4, 5 through 10 or 11, come out on the front porch. And I watched her husband stand out. And I heard somebody knocking on the window. If you're from Tioga County, it's a window. It's not a window, okay? Knocking on the window. And I knew that God was hearing our prayers. But there are times in my life when I wondered, God, are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? I'm afraid that God is not hearing me. I am a nobody. God is not hearing me. Isaiah says it this way, for I am the Lord your God who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. What they're fearing there is, I can't do this, God. I'm too small. I don't have what it takes. I'm just a worm. I'm just too small. I'm afraid, God. I'm afraid I don't have what it takes to go the next step. And God says, I didn't put you in this situation so that you could be afraid. I put you in this situation so that you can know that I'm God. I didn't put you in the boat and let the waters come up on you and walk out on there just to spook your boat ride. I did it so that you could see me and you could turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Push the button. Sorry, put it back. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Question mark. But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear and do not be frightened. You know what? You know, and listen. I think just doing the next right thing sometimes is fearful to us. He said, you know what? Not everybody's going to be okay with you doing the next right thing. As a matter of fact, you might get slammed to the ground. Don't be afraid of that. I didn't put you in this situation so that you could get slammed to the ground, but you may. I put you in this situation so that you could see me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm telling me if I had a mirror, I'd be looking at it. I'm telling me right now, when I have something fearful in my life, if I focus on what is fearful, I'm going to sink. I have to turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonder. How do I do that? Maybe just start singing that song. I don't care if you're in the middle of Walmart. You think no masks will get people from spreading the water around you? Start singing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus out loud in the middle of Walmart. I'm telling you what, you'll see the Red Sea split open again. But I will not fear. I will turn my eyes upon Jesus, and I will look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim. Why are you singing that? Because fear is trying to take me down right now, and it will not take me down, because Jesus did it all allowed in my life to spook my life. He allowed it in my life so I could see him. I've got to be honest with you. Some of us are running in fear. And Jesus did this whole miraculous thing by walking on water just to give one bit of information to the disciples. Don't be afraid. I'm afraid I'll be alone all my life. So we get into the relationship with the next person who just winks at us. Don't do that. I'm afraid I won't be able to do this. So I'm going to do this. Don't do that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Acts 18:9 says this. So one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid. I always find it interesting when I hear God telling Paul, don't be afraid. I don't really think of Paul as a fearful guy. Don't be afraid and do not be silent. Tell people about me. Have you ever been afraid to share the gospel? And God's telling, wait a minute, give me your attention for like 8 more minutes. In your heart, when you know that God wants you to share the gospel with somebody, a coworker, a family member, a friend, whoever else, and you get all dried mouth and you get all amped up and you get all this fear, that's fear. Just start singing in your heart. Turn my eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share how much God loves you. Let me finish. Genesis 45:3. I skipped one, I know. Joseph said to his brothers, listen, I'm going to end with this one. Listen. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. If you know the whole story, his brothers sold him into slavery a few years ago. And Joseph has had a life with the Egyptians, and all of a sudden he has risen to the top. And now there's a famine in the land, and his brothers come back to get food from him. They didn't know that that's him, but they came back to get food from him. At the request of their father, Joseph's father as well, and Joseph's father, Jacob, thinks Joseph is dead. His brothers have been keeping a secret for years and years and years and years, and they sold him into slavery years ago. And they've lived with this lie for this many years, saying that your son is dead. And now all of a sudden they're back in Egypt ready to get some food for their family because there's a famine. And it says, and it comes to the end of the story, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified of his presence. Don't be afraid. If God's bringing something up that in your past, don't be afraid of it. Let him bring a resolution to you. Let him forgive you. Have you ever been afraid that somebody else is going to know something about you that other people don't know? Have you ever been afraid that somebody's going to know something about your past? Is everybody going to be afraid of that you did this in life and now all of a sudden it's kind of this hidden secret? And now they're being exposed for this and all of a sudden that's terrified. They're terrified that everybody's going to find out their lie. I've been living a lie over and over and over and over. And all of a sudden, I need to keep that lie buried. So I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to run. Does that make sense this morning? I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you did last night. But if God's bringing it to your head right now, if he's bringing it to your heart right now, I don't know what you did last week, but if he's bringing it to your head and your heart right now, then he wants to do something with it. He doesn't want you to run away from your past. He wants you to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Look at that first verse. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for all. For I look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Stand with me today. And just so you know, on a morning like this, that I need to practice what I preach. Because you know what one of my biggest fears are that can just really subdue me and defeat me? You know what it is? Thinking that I have more confused you than enlightened you. And I'll spend all afternoon, if I let myself, thinking how I should have said it a little better. A little differently. A little shorter, a little longer. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to have to sing all afternoon, turn my eyes upon Jesus. Because fear wants to come into your life and into my life. A fear of anything. Fear that you're going to be alone, a fear that you're going to die, a fear that you got an ache you don't know, a fear of a past. It's going to come into your life. And its sole purpose is to defeat you. And Jesus says the sole purpose in my kingdom is so that you can see me. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Father God, thank you for these moments together. Father, I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. I want to look full in your wonderful face. Lord, you did not take me on any road that I've been on in life. You haven't taken me on a road of illnesses. You have not taken me on a road of shadows. You have not taken me on a road of unknowns in my life. You have not taken me on a road of taking me from Tioga County and putting me in a classroom. You haven't taken me on any of those roads to make me afraid, for simply to make me afraid. You have taken me on those roads to show me that you are mightier than anything that we could fear. And that you're walking across all that stuff that will subdue us. You're walking on all that stuff to get to us, saying, "Don't be afraid." All that does is want to make you run. But turn your eyes upon me. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I can do in your life. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. Father, we're going to say amen, and the church is going to leave this building. And this building is going to be a building because the church is being released. Help us to be the church. We are the church. Help us to be a spirit-filled, released church into a world that so desperately needs the church to be real. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.